prayerful life. We're going to go to Luke 18, where Jesus again is using a kingdom parable towards his disciples, just like us today, disciples of Jesus. Jesus was wanting his disciples to get this. He was wanting them to know there's a whole lot of stuff coming in the future. And what I love about Jesus is he doesn't tell them all the details of what's coming in the future. He gives them what they need for the future. He gives them that understanding of what prayer is all about. In verse 1 of Luke 18, he says this. Jesus, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart, not lose confidence. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while, he refused. But afterward, he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Remember that word, come? Come to Christ? And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Jesus is always putting these, it can seem cryptic, but actually as we unpack this today, I pray it becomes simple. He was giving his disciples a picture, an example. He was giving them an illustration, something that they could grasp onto. And you'll notice in this little section, he uses two things. He says, firstly, there's an illustration, which is, I'm going to give you the headline straight away, is about persistence. And secondly, he gives them some instructions. And what I notice is when people read these passages, often they get the illustration. But many times they go away without the instruction that Jesus was giving. And the instruction is crucial, because those are the tools by which we live. So what do we see here? What do we know from this, or need to know, or did the disciples know, that Jesus doesn't explain all the background they already knew? There's a few things. The widow had no covering or authority in that society to appeal, so she had someone to appeal on her behalf. She needed an authority to appeal on her behalf. It was this judge or nothing. So Jesus chooses a character that's full dependence is on this judge ruling correctly. There's probably other people in the society he could have chosen as a character, and they wouldn't have needed or been so reliant on this decision. The disciples would have known that. She was the least in the community socially. She required mercy from a judge. Hear these gospel words. Mercy from a judge, and it was the only option. She was the weakest, maybe financially, able to fight any injustice. Wouldn't have had financial capability to fight the injustice herself. And then would have required that redemption moment. It wasn't going to be a financial thing that saw her receive justice. It was going to be someone with authority to give that without any cost. Hear the gospel coming through here? It's probably likely that that ruler was waiting for a bribe. That's why he didn't want to listen to her. He was like going, no, I'll just keep her coming back until she pays the money like everybody else. They give the paper bag. We know how this system works. And then, you know, I'll give you what you want. He must have realized in this story, this lady is not going to be able to provide that. She's just going to keep coming until she gets what she desires. She was probably the least valued member as far as contribution to civilian life. She wasn't able to produce anything in her own strength. And so in those days, to civilian, you know, capability, and even maybe in these days, it's how much you can produce. What can you offer? Who are you as a person? What sort of resources do you, that causes you to have value? She needed a sovereign ruling alone. She needed a king to step in. He was probably waiting for the bribe and wanted to settle this favor on account of money. Persistence was her only weapon. When we're talking about prayer, and this is what Jesus is talking about, these are the attributes: a determination, a persistence, an absolute reliance, I've got no other way. I need mercy, I need your grace, I need your redemptive power in this circumstance. And we're going to come to the good bit. There was something, both the disciples there and we know from the story, there was definitely something that needed to be put right. Whenever justice is required, something needs to be put right. And you know, with us, with friends, with relationships, with challenges, with stuff in life that we look at on the TV and think, how's that going to be resolved? We know when something has to be put right. We know in our spirit. But there's a relief, friends, and it's not to go on a blog and give your views and opinions with everybody else and get into arguments and discuss it and come to no actual recompense. It is to allow God to take hold of what is His, firstly us, and respond in the way that He has called us to. God, this is the good news that we also see here, God will uphold His people quickly. He doesn't hold out on you. He will come to you in peace and walk you through it if we pray, if we come to Him. He is not hard-pressed. He is not making things difficult. This ruler, he was making it difficult for this lady. God does not make it difficult. He says, come, we'll work this through together. If I am your reliance, then He can work that through. The real issue that is noted at the end, because there's a strange thing that Jesus says at the end of verse 8. He says, I'll tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? What a strange question. Not really. Jesus is saying, the real issue here is not whether justice will be done. The real issue here is whether I'll find anyone on the earth who's willing to have faith to see it happen. Whoa. Jesus is saying, I've got everything that's needed. The Father's given me everything that's needed, and I'm giving it to you. The question is what you do with it. Isn't that a blunt question? He's talking to His disciples, and if you're a disciple of Jesus, He's probably talking to you today as well. So what are the gospel lessons? What are the gospel lessons we start to see about the character, the person? We know this is a story, but what Jesus is trying to exemplify is that this lady came with a good request. What's a good request, do you think? You know, I have my kids come to me with a lot of requests. Firstly, they go to Trina, okay? Firstly, they go to Trina because, you know, that's where they're going to start working out whether this is a good request or not, okay? And then if it seems like it might not even be a good request, they come to me. And requests get made. And sometimes, because of out of the love of my heart and the goodness of my heart, not always good judgment, it gets released, right? And later, I'll have to talk to Trina about the good request. Was that a good request? And I was like, I'm just trying to operate out of the nature of mercy and grace and love. And so we're all in trouble. But the reality is, what is a good request? What is actually a good request? What it's talking about in this context, a good request is one that is righteous. It is one that is of God's nature. It's one that aligns with Him, His righteousness and His justice. And so when we come into His presence and we're stripped away from our desires and our thoughts and our thinking that we've had about how we're going to sort this out, God provides his. And then we ask him with things that he already knows and wants to answer. Isn't that amazing? We have faith and his nature is revealed. A good request is something that is aligned by God. He is determining it. It's persistent because we are determined to come to him. Come to him, hear him, do what he asks. The second thing is that God is wanting to give you what's required to have faith for this, believe for this, and walk this out. He will give you his gifts, not the ideas you had to walk this out, his gifts to walk this through. So prayer is this powerful act. I'll come to him, I'll receive from him, and then I'll walk with him. I didn't know, Ben, there was so much action in prayer. Oh, it's very persistent, very active. You will not just be sitting in a cupboard, right? Hoping that something happens. God will work it through you. He will give you what to do. Even say to you, wait. Now, I have seen more demons come out of people when I've said wait than yes or no. Just tell me yes and I'll be happy with you. Tell me no and I'll be unhappy with you. But don't say wait. This other thing just comes out. What does that mean? I call that the God space. And we've all had that happen to us by God, haven't we? Wait. Just wait. What does that mean? Prayerfully, intentionally waiting on him. Not those people, they don't need to wait. Sorry, at home there's an ambulance going past. They need to get there quickly. In Jesus' name. A godly outcome is one, again, this is challenging for us at times, that is one that is going to be a response in a timely, here's timing, just, which means deliver the fullness of justice to the situation, and eternal way. Not something that will change and then flick back next week and need prayer again. Eternally change. Timely, just, which just feels wholesome when it happens, and eternal. It has turned and changed forever. Is this exciting you about prayer and the power of what it does? Maybe you came in this morning with a whole lot of things that need to change. Maybe you thought with others, now you're realizing it might even be with you and circumstances and all of those sort of things that you thought were impossible to change. But prayer is incredibly active in us and out of us. You see, God's reputation is on the line in prayer, not yours. God's reputation. Because God's reputation is as one who delivers and purposes. And as Dave said in communion, promises all these things. God wants to make very clear he's nothing like the world. He says that's the unjust guy, that unjust ruler. He would make those people come and come and come and come. I just want them to come through my son into the presence so that I can walk with them and deliver the power of his future. For us, what does this mean? I was reading some scriptures that are favorites of mine out of Hebrews. And in Hebrews 4:12, how do we wait on God? Well, the word that we're reading today, just like we're reading, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. When I spend time with God and I read the scripture, I read his word, when I listen to him, because he speaks to our hearts too, and I wait on him, he pierces through my intentions, desires, ideas about the circumstance, and he delivers his. How do I wait on God? How many people sit and take time to wait on God and say, let this pierce my heart. Let this cut away everything that's me and others and whatever, and just allow me to hear him so I can act purely. The scripture tells us that his word does that. His truth gets us in the place where we're hearing correctly. So when he says things like this in Hebrews 10, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Why does Jesus say in that scripture, right up front in his parable, always to pray and not lose heart? Because our confidence is richly rewarded. Our confidence has the promise and inheritance. So we don't want to lose heart. So therefore what? Pray. Always. Pray always. It's like you can do other things, but pray always. As we think about this as Christians, and this is the instruction, I guess, is what is he asking his disciples? What's the instruction he's giving? Petition the Father who can change all things. Come to the one who is good, and he will help you. He desires that for us. Always pray. Come to him. Persist, like this widow, persist in it, knowing that your Father is good. Hebrews 10:39 says, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Jesus says, will I find people with faith on the earth who want to preserve what God is doing? Even Jesus himself in Hebrews 5:7-9, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers, supplications with loud cries and tears. He offered them up to those who were able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Jesus himself was reverent before the Father. He offered up prayers in his flesh at his most needy, when he was sweating blood, when he was thinking about his disciples. He offered up prayers and supplications because he knew how to do this. Although he was a son, not a slave, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered and was being made perfect. And he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. As disciples hearing this word today with instruction, we know we can be persistent, we can keep our confidence, that we can be patient, that we can wait on the Lord for his justice to be determined. He will give us confidence and endurance. And fourthly, we get to pursue this with faith. Faith that is not fleeting, not with fear, but with a future and a hope. If the band can come up, we're going to respond in faith and in prayer this morning. One of the verses that I'm going to finish with today, I'd like you to take on in your heart as you hear it. Hebrews 4:14-16 says this. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. This isn't a confession about what sins you've done this week or what you didn't do or what you have done or any of those things. This is a confession that Jesus Christ is our only reliance, only dependence when it comes to seeing things change. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are and yet is without sin. Let us then, with confidence, keeping our heart towards him, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive what? Say it with me. Mercy and find grace to help in the time of need.